Mitzvah Shin Ayin Hey 375. Shelo Yikones Hanozer LaOhel Hamis. That a nozer should not go into a tent containing a dead body, which, as we know, conveys the tuma, the ritual impurity of the dead body. Shelikones Hanozer LaOhel Hamis Shenamar Al Nefesh Meis Lo Yabo. He should not come into contact with the dead body. Fine. Mishor Shearchokas Atuma Mimokam Hakodosh. So why should the Nazir go far away from the tomb of a dead body? It's because the Nazir is supposed to become closer to God, so a dead body is signifies the lack of connection between a person, a living person, and God, becoming spiritual, but not as so far as can be related in the physical world. So therefore, we have to distance a holy person from contact with dead bodies. If you remember all the way back to Parshas Emor, we're talking about how the Kohanim are not allowed to come into contact with dead bodies. It's because that death, again, indicates the fact that a person's soul, to use an English term, has left the person, and therefore this body has now become completely attached to the physicality of the world, is going to be buried in the ground, and the seichel, the intelligence that really connects that binds together with the body and connects the living person to God, is no longer here. So therefore, it's a source of something that we want to distance ourselves from.
So
even if he would become tamei by sticking part of his body in the tent or enclosure of a dead body, nevertheless he doesn't fully violate the nazirus until he enters completely with his entire body. As soon as he sticks in his nose or his toes, either the first thing that would potentially go into the house would the enclosure would render him tummy. Nevertheless, he doesn't violate the nazirus until such time as he goes in completely. So, if the Nazir would go into a house in which there was a dead body in an enclosed container, so if he would, you know, they would lock him in a chest and take him into the Ohel HaMeis, so that he wouldn't be tamei. That's not called tumah at all. Not called entering the house at all. That's why.
You wear a plastic bag like the famous
Caroline. Right. So that's.
Oh Lord.
That's So that's why if you have a problem when you have kohanim who are going on flights and the flights are flying above a cemetery, then you have a problem that the tumah is of the cemetery goes ad larakia, goes indefinitely up. So. If so, it's a shaila. Maybe the plane separates between him and the tumah. Some people say that. Some people say don't. Some people say don't agree with that. Whatever. So apparently, what happened? The backstory is they were talking about these issues with Rav Yoshev. So they said maybe. Well, you know, it was going back and forth different ways that maybe the Kohen could protect himself from becoming tumei in an airplane flying over a cemetery. So somebody said, well, what if he encloses himself completely, ties himself in a plastic bag? So Rav Yoshev said, that would for sure be good. That would for sure work. So they took from this, not that, you know, it was a theoretical thing that he was saying, you know, that technically would be sufficient. They took from this, oh, Rav Yoshev endorsed this as the best way for a Kohen to fly on an airplane. So you had some Kohanim who started enclosing themselves in plastic bags when they were in an airplane. When you take off from Ben Gurion Airport until they got over the Mediterranean Sea, they would enclose themselves in a plastic bag in case they flew over a Jewish cemetery. Oh, so you want to say, like, there is someone, I forget who, there is some posek who suggests that when Chazal say that Tumah of a grave is bokas ve'ola adla rakia, mm-hmm. when it says that the Tumah goes until the heavens, it means ad velo ad bichlal. It means until, but not including. So if you're flying in the heavens, the tumah doesn't reach you. Okay, it's a chiddush. It's a big chiddush. Okay, so okay.
Intuitively, it seems correct.
Yeah, why? Until ad larakia, it goes up all the way.
Yeah.
Until the firmament.
It's like air rights, you know, where it was. There's no, you know, upper limit on air, you know, right? That sort of thing. You know, that's the idea. Right?
Mm. It might be zoning. I'm not how many stories you can wear.
Okay. Yeah, it's not. I think they might have worked with the flight path so as not to potentially go over cemeteries. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not a Kohen. No Kohen ever asked me the Shaila, so I'm not quite up to date on these topics, but it is an issue. Okay, so this Nazir went into a house with a dead body, and then he said to his friend, "Hey, can you? Okay, now open the chest. Let me jump out." So when he opens the chest, he takes the roof off the chest. Lokesh Tain, the Nazir received the penalty of lashes twice. Achas mishum lovo valo achas mishum lo yitma. We'll see the next mitzvah is that the Nazir is not allowed to come into contact with a dead body, and this mitzvah is that a Nazir shouldn't enter. So there's two prohibitions. One is entering the tent, which is the whole body, and one is becoming tummy, which is any manner that he or she, in this case, again, Kohen, it's only a male Kohen who's not allowed to become tummy, but here you have even a female Nazir would obviously have these restrictions. Sharei achshav tuma uviya bain ka'acha. So in this case, the tuma and the entering the house come at one time. So therefore, with one act that you say to, you say, "Hey, take off the top of the chest." So in that case, he would, since both the prohibitions are violated at once, he receives the penalty of malchus twice. V'nozer shenichnas bo hameso beveis hakvoros bishgaga. But if you go into a enclosure with a dead body or into a cemetery on purpose, so there, once you find out, you have to leave immediately. You cannot stay at all. But if you hang around, if you intentionally hang around,
not on purpose, you know, right?
Enter in shogate, but you don't leave right away. Even though you could, I don't know. It seems to be like Ein Bo Maisa, that you're just passive, but here you're expected to go out right away, and your staying is considered to be a Maisa. So therefore, you would receive the penalty of lashes as well if you stayed for the amount of time. This is the Halacha Moshe Mizina, the Kabbalah, that this is the amount of time that it would take you to bow down on the ground in the Beis HaMikdash. The Eser Prata Mivarim B'Maseches Nazir. But if you stay shorter than that, you wouldn't receive Malchus, but you would obviously be Tamei. The rest of the details are Maseches Nazir. Noe Yisur Zeh B'chol Malkim V'chol Zman B'zachar Merkevos, all place in all times, males and females. V'elvir Allah V'nitma B'tzadin Shamayinu Chayim Malkos. If you become Tomei in a manner where you enter entirely into the enclosure with the dead body, you are liable to lashes. Mitzvah Shinayin Vav 376 Shalo Yitomei HaNazir B'meisu V'shar Tumos. So therefore the Nazir should not become Tomei through contact with a dead body or other ways of a corpse conveying tumas. Bishar tumas, you think it means you're not allowed to become Tomei at all. That's not true. The Nazir is allowed to become a Tomei in other ways besides through contact with a dead body. Sheli Tomei HaNazir B'meis, Shenemar Le'avivu Limo Lo Yitama, even for one's parents, like the Kohen Gadol, that a Nazir is not allowed to come into contact at all with any type of dead body, with the exception being a Mace mitzvah. If there is the exception is always a mace mitzvah. There's a dead body with no one to bury it, then the Nazir is allowed to become Tamei. Just like a Kohen is allowed to become Tamei. And it is a choice. If a Kohen and a Nazir are walk into a bar and they find a dead body, they know when to bury it. So the question is who should bury the dead body? Who should become Tamei? The answer is it should be the Nazir, because a Kohen has a lifetime prohibition to come into contact with a dead body, whereas a Nazir is temporary, and therefore you go with a Nazir. Avapi shekvar kosafti b'mitzvah rishona shebeseder zeh, tam bar chokas atuma min hakodesh, od agid ha'ola aruchi betam ha'chomer agodol shebenazir shenistafel shalitama gam lo'avi ul'imel vein tzorch lomar b'shar krovim. So I already explained a little bit why the Nazir shouldn't come into contact with a dead body, but I'm going to now go into more detail explaining as to why not even to his parents and close relatives Nazir should not become Tommy and not allowed to go to the funeral. I mean, you could if you stay outside, okay, in theory, but fine. Vareya Kohen Hedyo Chigam Hu Kadosh Mitami Bohem. So why should the Nazir be worse than a regular Kohen? A regular Kohen is allowed to become Tommy, maybe he has a mitzvah to become Tommy, to close relatives in order to bury the body. So why not a Nazir? So again, it's only a Kohen Gadol who's not even allowed to come into contact with his parents' bodies when they die. The Kohen did not choose to be a Kohen. You're born a Kohen, you're always a Kohen, there's nothing to be done about it. Just by virtue of being conceived from a legitimate woman that a Kohen is allowed to marry, plus a Kohen father, so that he is a Kohen, he has no choice in the matter. So the way you interact with your relative should be, is like any other person in the world. That the only difference between a Kohen and a regular Jew is that the Kohen has a responsibility to perform the worship in the Beis HaMikdash at intervals. In other words, any given Kohen, besides the Kohen Godel, is not on duty at all times. A Kohen, they only have they have specific times in the year where they are on duty. Sometimes when you're not hanging, you're not in the Beis HaMikdash, what are you going to do? You're going to hang out at home, and you'll have parties. You'll invite your friends over, you'll enjoy with your family, you'll have meals, you'll drink wine. So because you have this more of an opportunity, you're not totally devoted 100% to God. You have the opportunity to socialize more. You're going to naturally be connected more with your family.
Talking about the Kohen.
Yeah,
yeah.
A regular Kohen.
Yeah. Right.
The Torah likes to be nice. That's the famous pasuk that all the ways of the Torah are pleasant. That if you see that if there's something that's completely intolerable, so it's unlikely, again, I couldn't say never, certain things that are really hard, but you know, certain things, some things are completely intolerable, then the Torah does not forbid it. So, for example, the Gemara in Sukkah has a famous discussion as to how do we know that with the identity of the four species. So basically, okay, it's Aloch al Moshe Mitzrayim, it's a received tradition of the Jewish people that goes back as far as we can know. So until Sinai. So the Gemara, the question is how serious the Gemara is when it's asking these questions. Fine, but the Gemara toys with other ideas like, well, how do you know it's really a palm frond? Maybe it's something else, and he brings, you know, proofs as to how it could be something else. So there's a machlokes between Tosfos and the Rambam as to what the Gemara means. According to the Rambam, the Gemara is not serious at all. The Gemara knows that obviously you just go by the tradition, and obviously it's just, you know, telling you this so people remember, and there's some sort of allusion in the Bible, so it connects it to allusions in the Bible, so people just to strengthen the idea in people's head that it's really a lulav and not a different type of plant. According to Tosfos, famously, Tosfos, based on the comments on that sugya, seems to think that the Gemara is really trying to figure out what's a lulav. Obviously they knew what a lulav was, but the point was that maybe if there'd be something else that would fulfill these drushes that it brings from the psukim, maybe that would also be kosher as a lulav. So again, the different approaches. So the Gemara says, a couple of things suggest, well, maybe when the Torah says anaf eitz avos, I don't know, it means a myrtle, maybe it means a different type of thing, because it doesn't say in the Torah, you know, the exact species. So some of the suggestions the Gemara gives are plants that have thorns. Then the Gemara says, no, even though that plant maybe fits the criteria, the Torah would never command you to lift something up that has thorns in it. So therefore, you know, it can't be that thing. So here's the two. The Torah doesn't command you to do things that are painful. So here, since the Kohen Hedyot, a regular Kohen, is very connected with his immediate family, therefore, the Torah allows him, even though you get the idea that maybe it's not ideal in this philosophy. Again, according to some, there's a mitzvah that he should do it, so then it is ideal. Okay, but in this philosophy that Zeifer Chinuch is presenting, you get this idea that maybe really, based on their level of holiness, they shouldn't, but since the Torah doesn't command them to be on duty all the time, they have the opportunity to develop their relationships with the families, therefore they're going to be particularly upset if they can't assist in the burial. So what do you do? I don't know. What about very close friends? I don't know.
Well,
strange. I don't know. So, obviously, these reasons are not the be-all and end-all, as Sefer Chinuch says many times himself. Achin ha'ish ha'nozor l'Hashem kol yemei neder nizro kadoshu l'Hashem. So if a person intentionally accepts upon himself or herself the prohibition to come into contact with a dead body, and he had to fully devote himself to God during that time, then it's different. The crown of God is upon his head. So the point is that the Nazir is not allowed to drink wine. So in any type of social gathering, obviously the central beverage is going to be wine. So if the his friends invite him over and say, hey, we're having a party, so he's going to say, you know, I can't really come because I'm not allowed to drink wine. Oh, okay. So he's not going to be as close with other people emotionally, relationship-wise, as others. Again, even though it pointed out that an Uzzer is allowed to drink a bottle of whiskey every day. Not obviously that's Uzzer to everyone because in Nishmarta Modla Nafshazichan, fine. You have to be guard your health. But as the laws of Nazira, so he could drink whiskey. So the point is, as I mentioned before, in my interpretation, but that is basically alluded to here, is that his separating himself so explicitly from wine indicates his desire to really be on a higher plane of lack of indulgence, and it shows that he's not going to drink a bottle of whiskey every day either, because he shows by becoming another that he wants to separate. So here he's since he's separating. So then he's not going to be as automatic result, he's not going to be as close with other people. Again, the point of the Nozer is to separate somewhat from the body and focus on the soul. But so he didn't, not paying attention to his bodily wants, needs very much. So he's not even interested in forming relationships with other people unless they're in a manner that result in a mitzvah. Just to have fun and have a good time, the Nazir is not interested. So as the soul ascends by this person taking on the Nazir, so it becomes focused only on spiritual things and not physical things. It's going to become easier. So it's not a person being so spiritually focused is not going to want so much the company of other people, bim krovim hema or rechokim, whether they're relatives or not. Below simtza tanug bechol dover meadvarim zlosi ba'avodah kedusha sheniskashuba ve'ineha eleha tamid. That the only thing that they're going to derive pleasure from and find meaning in life is divine service, and that's what you're going to focus on all the time. Al kein lerov kedushasu ma'alosu prishuso me'echav timne'enu atorah mehitame lahen. So that's why, since he's so separated, that's why the Torah tells him that he's not allowed to come into contact even with relatives. It's a similar case to a Kohen Gadol. That's why the Kohen Gadol is also not allowed to come into contact with any dead bodies, even close relatives, because the Kohen Gadol specifically is supposed to be focused purely on the service of God, yeah?
Also, with Kohen Gadol, has to be, you know, on duty all the time, though, right?
Correct,
so,
yeah.
So another reason. He can't go not take...
Right, obviously he's not...
He can't, you know, take time off to,
He has to eat dinner.
Right, I mean, there are things...
No, but he can't be... If he comes to Tomei, he can't, you know, do the Avoda, then...
Correct, yeah.
Well, he's going to occasionally...
I mean, the goal is not. I mean, tume, yes, but tumas that require only immersion in a mikvah, not the sprinkling of the para aduma. So it's interesting that the Kohen Gadol. So what do we say in Yom Kippur? What do we say in Yom Kippur when the Kohen Gadol left the Kodesh HaKadosh and he finished the service of Yom Kippur and nothing happened to him because we know if the Kohen Gadol wasn't holy enough, so it was very likely that he wouldn't survive the service of Yom Kippur. So after he went into Kodesh HaKadosh, the holiest place, and he managed to come out alive and in good health, so after he finished the service of the whole day of Yom Kippur, so he used to make a party for his friends. Mm-hmm. What?
Of course.
Here he has friends. You see, he had friends.
Right.
You see, and he had time for parties sometimes. Okay. I'm sure it was a very mitzvah-oriented party, but it's not the be-all and end-all. So it says why that the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to become tamei to anyone because shemen mishchas elokav el rosho. By the Nozer it says a crown, the crown of God. And there it says the oil of God. Okay, so whatever. So on the head, you know, this person displays pure devotion to God, whether it be the Nazir or the Kohen Gadol, same idea. a nozer lo hisgir shemen, because a nozer is not anointed. Shebekoyin emar kinezer shemen mishchas el kavala, the nozer emar kinezer el kavala rosho. Bilai tachshov lahashiv alai, ki a nozer lizman behashlin zman u yoshiv li mei iluma v'yirdov tabosav. So you can say, hey, say for chinuch, I can ask a question on this reason. You said that a nozer is similar to the Kohen Gadol because of their single-minded devotion to the divine service. But a nozer, when he finishes his nazirus, is very temporary. It could be temporary, usually temporary. So after he finishes his nazirus vow, so he's going to go back to being a regular person. He's going to do whatever he wants. So why should he be on the same level as the Kohen Gadol, who has a lifetime appointment, basically? Why should he be more stringent than a Kohen Hedyot? A Kohen Hedyot is also a lifetime. But nevertheless, he's even more stringent than a Kohen Hedyot, more similar to a Kohen Gadol. Hachuva ki adam achar hazira l'Hashem pam achas tikva yeshbo l'kadesh ashmel atzmel hosiv yom yom betuvo min hashmai maskimin al yodo. That we hope that once you've experienced being a nazir, it's going to change your life forever. You're not going to be like, okay, here, I'll be a nazir for a while, and then you'll be a nazir, and they'll be like, that wasn't for me. Back to the wine! So you hope that the experience of being a nazir will influence your thought processes and spirituality for the rest of your life.
In your example of the Kohen and Nazir that, you know, go into a bar and find the corpse there.
Yeah.
So you said, obviously, if it would be the Nazir that would take care of it. But if the Nazir was also a Kohen, would the other Kohen then...
The more Chomer. So there you have a Kohen and plus a Nazir. So there you have sure. And so if you have a Kohen Gadol and a regular Kohen, then you go with the regular Kohen.
That famous Nazir was a Kohen, right?
So if the Kohen Gadol is a Nazir, so then you have the highest.
He doesn't have enough stuff going on. Right. He has to be a Nazir.
Yeah, that Nazir was a Kohen, yeah. Uchedian Sha'amru Zichron Levracha Bali Tayer Messiah Oso. That the Gemara says that if a person really puts his mind towards becoming purified, you know, spiritually, and really going up the spiritual ladder, so even if it's a very difficult path, so once you start down that path, so you will have divine assistance to continue and keep going up. V'achar shehizir afilu yom echad yistayeh v'yashlim kol yom av betara. So even if your nazirus vow ends, you're still going to be much more conscious of separating yourself from the material, physical world, and you will change your life for the better. So that's why the nazir, in a way, is more chamor, is more stringent for these things, that is more spiritually sensitive, shall we say, than a Kohen Hedyot in certain ways. Because a Kohen Hedyot, there is no active behavioral modifications. In other words, he's born a Kohen, and he's going to be a Kohen forever. So there's no choice in the matter, and they act more or less in a normal manner, except while they're in the Beis Hamikdash. Midinei hamitzvah, mashalom zichron levracha, sheish tumas meis sheim nitma hanazir ba, megaleach vesoser hayomim hakodmin, umaschil limnos yemei nezirusso achar kein. So, a nazir is not allowed to become tamei at all by contact with a dead body. However, there are certain ways he comes into contact with a dead body that will cause him to restart the nazir count. We mentioned that if he cuts his hair or he comes into contact with a dead body, so in certain situations, he has to restart the nazir count, to bring korbanos and then restart it. So not every time the nazir becomes tamei through contact with a dead body will he have to restart its count. There's a difference. There are only some more explicit ways that comes into contact with a dead body, will he actually have to restart the count. V'yishtumas meis she'ein megaleach ba'avura veloso serayomim akodmim ve'afal pi shehi tumas shiva. So even though he has come into contact with a dead body and he will require the sprinkling of the ashes of the para aduma on the third day and the seventh day of the purification procedure, Because the Torah says, it doesn't use the lashon of coming into contact with a dead body, it just says, when a person shall die upon him. What does that mean? He has to come into contact with a tumah that results from the main manifestation of a corpse. So what does that mean? Okay, let's see. Ve'eluhein, hatuma she'anozer megaleach aleihem. So what are the... So again, there's possible for a nozer to be tamei with tumas meis. No question about it. He has to have the sprinkling of the para aduma, but nevertheless, he does not have to restart his count. He only has to restart his count for certain things that are more stringent, strenuous, explicit. I don't know the right word. Ve'eluhein hatuma she'anozer megaleach aleihem. What are these types of tuma that the nozer restarts the count based thereupon. Al hanefel vafilu lo niskasher evara begidem, a stillborn fetus, and even if it hadn't fully developed all the sinews in its body yet. Val kazayis min hames, an olive's bulk of a dead body. Val kazayis netzel, we'll define that in a minute what that is. Val haatzamos shein rov minyan haatzamos afalpi shein bahen rov hakav. If you have a collection of bones, that's most of the bones of the body, even if they don't amount to the volume of Rova Hakav, which has halachic significance in other areas. V'al atzmos shehein binyono shelmeis v'afal pi shehein b'hem Rova Hakav. Even if numerically it's not most of the bones in the body, but it comprises most of the bodily structure. So, for example, you have very small bones, certain body and fingers, whatever, and you have large bones like the skull or the vertebrae, or ribs. So if you have, so numerically, the bones in the hands might be more than, you know, a larger portion, bones that cover a larger portion of the body. So if you have most of the bones numerically of the body, even if they don't comprise most of the structure of the body, or you have most of the structure of the body, even though numerically they're not most of the bones of the body, that would be tummy for the nazir to start restart the count. If you have the quantity of half a kav of bones, even though it's neither most of the structural quantity of the bones or most of the numerical quantity of the bones, but this quantity only applies when all the bones are from one corpse and not from two corpses, not collected from more than one corpse. Val shidra haba min hames, the spine, vel hagulgolas shel meis echad, and the skull of one dead body, one, you know, as opposed to more than one, vel eivar min hameis, and an entire body part that comes from a corpse, vel eivar min achai, meyadam sheyesh alei and basar sheroy lahalus ba'arucha b'chai, and a limb that was chopped off a live body that has enough substance to it that it would have, if it hadn't been chopped up off completely, it would have healed. Half a lug of blood, which comes from one body, again, not comprised of different ones. And rotted matter from a corpse that would fill your hands. Okay, ve'ezehu netzel. It says that a kizayis of netzel causes the nazir to become tamei to the extent that would have to restart his naziris. What is that? What is netzel? Ze basar hameis shenimoach venasa lecha srucha. It's not just rotted matter, but it's rotted to the extent that it's so decomposed that it's like a putrid liquid.
That's decomposed.
No.
Ve'ein rekev hameis mitame ad shikover. So this putrid liquid does not cause tuma. Ad shikover arom ba'aron shel shayish via kulo shalem. So he has to be buried in a marble coffin and without any extraneous matter, meaning with no shrouds. It has to be, and the body has to be entirely whole. There's a strange halakha. So, was this? Okay, you know, this is a tradition, but why should this be the case? I don't know exactly. So, in other words, it has to be the entire dead body and no extraneous matter. And including in a, if you buried in a wooden coffin, for example, so the body would decompose, and it would, the coffin would also decompose so that, you know, part of the coffin would be absorbed into the body, and part, you know, the dirt would start coming in at a certain point. So the point of the marble coffin is that it's not, bolea, like we say in Kashrus, that it prevents the dirt from coming in and will not fuse. The material itself will not fuse with the dead body. In other words, has to be 100% pure person. Can't be any admixture of something else, and the person has to be whole. So chotzer mimenu eiver o shenikbar b'chsuso b'arun shel atzomos o shemateches ein l'rekev. So if you use the coffin of another type, here it says a metal, so I guess that would rust and the stuff would come in, whatever. So it's, or, and... or he had shrouds, or there was part of the body missing when this person was buried, then there would be no netzel. Only if he died naturally, but if he was killed, you know, so the process of killing will certainly cause some blood to be lost, and then the corpse wouldn't be 100% whole. So kavru shnei mesim ke'achad. Again, if two corpses were buried in one coffin, oshigozuzu saro tziporinavu kvarum imo. So they wasn't just the nails attached as they were at death, but they cut off hair and nails and buried it with the body. Oisha ubara shemesa v'nikbara v'ubra b'me'eha, or a pregnant woman who died and was buried with the fetus. So that's considered two separate people dying and being buried together. Ein harekev shel hen matami. So the utterly decomposed substance would not be tami. Bechenim tochan hameisa chenas harekev einu matami ad shirakev meilov. And if you ground up the dead body until so it's sort of so it hastened the decomposition because it's tiny pieces now, so that would not be tami to this extent, and it would be. It only has to be decomposed completely naturally. So you have a lot of, you know, seemingly hard conditions to fulfill for this to be the case. But okay, this is the rule. V'chein im nitma berova atzamos haboyim v'shidro min agogolas ba'olan hareiz a sofek tami. So if there is a quarter of the bones of the spine or from or the the skull, so there is still in the they're in an ohel, so maybe he's tummy, maybe he's not. Kol elu shteimis reitumos shemaninu im noga hanozir b'achas menu niso o heehil hanozir aleo heehilo atuma al hanozir. So whether the nozir touches or carries or part of his body goes over or these things go over him, oshay hanozir v'achas mitumos elu b'ohel, or if the nozir and one of these things is in the same enclosure, hareze migaleach, or has a same roof over it rather, hareze migaleach tiglachas tuma umevi korban tuma vesosores akol. So he cuts off the hair in the manner that for those who are becoming tummy. Oh, so then you have to wait 30 days anyway. Okay, because it's part of the tiglachas. Yeah, okay. So you have to restart after 30 days. So then he undoes the whole count and then has to restart after 30 days. Chutz min harekev she'enu metame b'maga she'efshar she'iga b'chulo, except for the decomposed matter, which is not metame b'maga. If you touch it, you're not tame, because you have to, again, we have all these conditions, that has to be completely whole. So if you touch one part, you're not touching the whole thing at once. Okay? So yeah, that would have to be tumas masa or tumas ohel. She'enu guf echad, it's not one. One, what's that? How do you say this in English? Gush. How do you say that? Mm-hmm. One, how do you say that in English? One substance together, connected. I don't know. Okay. So if, but if you came into, if you carried it or you were in the same, under the same roof, then you would have to, you would end your Naziris and have to restart. V'chein nozer shenoga ba'etzem hameis afilu ba'etzem kesora o neso hareze migaleach alav umevi korban tumah v'sosores hakodmin. The same thing, you restart if you touch a whole bone from a dead body, even if it's the, or you carried it, even if it's the size of a barley kernel. Vein etzem echad metame olo, but this would not apply. Such a small amount would not cause tumas ohel. You would, if you were in the same enclosure with it, you would not, that would only, if you, you would only apply if you came into actual contact and you touched it. Or carried. Aval im nitma begush eretz ha'amim o besode shenechrash kever besocha shemetamim b'mago v'masa. So you have a rabbinical restriction in this case that all the land outside Eretz Yisrael is tamei. Because there may be graves at any point. So in Eretz Yisrael, we assume that people are careful to mark the graves because Jews have at least some presence there, and you know they can keep track of Eretz Yisrael, and obviously they want people to live in Eretz Yisrael, so they don't make this gzeira by Eretz Yisrael. So we have what's called Tumas Eretz Ha'amim. That's why, you know, the Kohanim are really not supposed to leave Eretz Yisrael at all. You need a really good reason for anybody is not really supposed to leave Eretz Yisrael, but Kohen especially, because you have this problem of Tumas Eretz Ha'amim. Or a field in which a grave was plowed. So now you have the remnants of the grave spread throughout the entire field. Or if you had contact not by being under the same roof explicitly, but if you were just under srigim hayotze min ha'ilonos or afros hayotzes min hageder o mita o gamel v'chayotze bo v'nidma be'olan, if you have something that's not such a stark a roof, like a camel, you're both under the same camel, or a tree reached over you, not a stark a roof, so then this is applicable to Kohanim. I remember I was once traveling with a Kohen in a car, and there was a cemetery in Brooklyn, and there was a tree that was planted in the cemetery, and it grew. It was a big tree, and part of the tree was over the road that was next to the cemetery, and part of the tree was over the graves. So that is potentially a problem of OL. So I wasn't driving. So the Kohen says, sees this, you know, coming up. Oh, careful of the trick! You know, swerving to get... No, you have to be, obviously, you have to be Piguach Nefesh. I guess there were no cars, but, you know, they quickly changed lanes so that the Kohen would not be... Again, the Shaila with the car might help you. Okay, whatever. O berova etzomo she'in bahen lo rov minyan velo rov binyan, or the arova of the bones that comprises neither numerically the most nor structurally the most, Oshinitma Birvias Dam, Vafabishu Mitame Bemago Vemasa Ova Ohel, or a revius of blood, even though a revius of blood is Mitame in all three ways. Oshinitma Begolil Bedofek Shemitame Bemago Vemasa. The Begol Bedof is a shaila about what they really are. Different Rishonim, they say different things, but they're basically accoutrements of a grave. Either something tied to the grave, or maybe it's the marker of the grave, whatever, accoutrements of a grave. O Shinitma Be'ever Minachai. So if there's something that was cut off a live body or a dead body but doesn't have enough flesh on it to heal by itself, where it's still attached, so even though you become Tomei, well, all these things that we've just said in the last paragraph, you do not restart your Naziris count. Yeah. So even though he has to undergo the purification from the Para Aduma on the third and seventh day, Einu Migaleach Tiglachas Tuma Velo Navy Karbanos Velo Soser Es Hakodmi. You don't shave your head and you don't bring the Karbanos. And fine. Then you have Al Kol Yemei Atuma Ein Olin Lo Leminyan Imei Nizirusoi. So don't restart, but on the other hand, the days that you're Tomei don't count towards your Nazir's vow. So let's say you pledge to be a Nazir for 100 days. And you become Tamei through contact with a dead body on one day, and then you only manage to access the Para Aduma and become Tahor 3 days later, and then you need 7 days of purification, so that's a total of 10 days. So you'll have to add 10 days on to the end of your Nazirus, so you won't have to restart. V'lechein, me'inyin ha-mitzvah, ma'asha amru, sha'metamei nozir mihaya nozir mezid, loke, v'zeh shetima over mishum v'lif ne'iver lo siten michshol. So the Nazir says he wants someone to be metame him, you know, they're playing catch outside here. There's a piece of dead body. You throw it, and then the Nazir catches it. So, okay, so that's called metame Nazir, or he hits you with it, whatever. Maybe he catches it, maybe then the other person. Okay, whatever it is. So then the person will the Nazir will receive the penalty of Malkus. Veloma, sorry. Oh, and then, but the person who caused him to become Tami is over on Lifnei Iver. That's Lifnei Iver. When you directly cause someone to do an Avera, that's the Deoraisa of Lifnei Iver. You know, we talk about Lifnei Iver all the time, what constitutes Lifnei Iver. So a lot of the times when we talk about Lifnei Iver, it's not the Deoraisa of Lifnei Iver, because that only applies when you are the cause of the person doing the sin. So let's say there's a Jew who says, "Ooh, I really want a ham sandwich now." So we pull out of your pocket, "Here you go, ham sandwich." So that's not Lifnei Iver Deraisa, because if he wants, just go across the street to Key Food and buy a ham sandwich. You're not the cause of him doing the there. You're not furnishing the opportunity to
because
do...
Because he said at the beginning,
said.
Right. Well, no, I mean, if you just say, "Here is a ham sandwich," and the person says, "Hey, great," and takes away, that's also...
Lifnei Iver.
No, not Deraisa. It's not Lifnei Iver Deraisa, because you're not furnishing the opportunity to do the sin.
But he might have not thought of going to Key Food, or maybe he doesn't have the money to get...
Yeah, but he can. Maybe any store in New York, you can buy a ham sandwich. And hopefully
you're
not
the only possible source for
don't
the ham
try
sandwich.
This at home.
So here, if the Nazir is no interest in a dead, you know, there's no other source, immediate source of a dead body, and you know, you're really the only way he could come in contact with a dead body. So then that's Lifnei Iver. V'imanozer shogeg v'zeh. I mean, there's even a prohibition by Misayeya. You're not allowed to do stuff that even, you know, encourages people on to do averis. That's also the Rabbanon.
So that's handing the guy a ham sandwich.
Right. No, that's usur. It's usur. I didn't say it wasn't usur. I said it's not Lifnei Iver Deraisa. That's
okay,
what I meant.
It's got another name, but it's...
Right. No, it's usur. You're right. No, you're 100% right. Yeah.
You know, the March of the Living, you know, Rabbi Bloch's League, I wonder, do they make Kohanim stay outside of, you know, the concentration
camps? I think so.
No, probably.
Yeah.
No, really?
I would think so.
I hope so. Vima Nazir Shogeg Vizeh Shetimo Mezid Ein Echad Mehen Loke. So if the Nazir was it by accident, but the person who caused them to become Tomei did it on purpose, caused them to become Tomei, then neither of them will receive the penalty of Malkus. Why? Why shouldn't this person become Tomei? I mean, would be Loke because of Lifnei Iver. He caused the Nazir to become Tomei, even though the Nazir wasn't doing it on purpose. B'shenemar b'Nazir v'timei rosh nizro, that he caused his crowned head to become Tamei. Kelomar she'en chiyu malchus ela bo keshehu metamei midaito. In other words, the whole institution of Nazir becoming Tamei and anybody who might be connected with it is specifically if the Nazir does it on purpose. V'timei rosh nizro, that he caused his head, Nazir head, to become Tamei. V'yaser pratev maseches Nazir. It's explained where else in maseches Nazir. V'noikis rzeb b'chol makom v'chol zman b'zuchar menekevos. Applies to male and females in all places and all times. V'avar al zev v'timei atzmo b'mezid b'tzadin she'be'arnu loke. If you cause yourself on purpose to become Tamei in the manner that we said, you'll receive Malkus. V'chosav Rambam zichron avracha sh'anazir she'timei atzmo b'mezid yischayev arba malkios. If you cause yourself to become Tamei on purpose, you'll receive four sets of lashes. Why? Mishum lo yitama. Umishum lo yachel dvaro, you're not allowed to undermine what you've said, what you've pledged. Umishum lo sa'acher l'shalamo, you shall not delay fulfilling your vow. Umishum lo yavo, you shall not enter the ohel of a dead body if you are a nazir. Imaisa bia v'tuma ba'in ka'achas, that if you also had to be, you know, you went entirely into the ohel of a dead body, then you would that would be included as well, because in that case the entering of the ohel and the contraction of tuma would have come at the same point. Okay, continue with the show next week.
But I'm also thinking about the business if there's no upper limit in Jewish cemetery for passing. I mean, he has a land, a flake from Israel. Why not?
You know, well.